Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Not your works, not my works, in His blood. That's why we as believers, and I know some of us are new to the whole church thing and new to the Jesus thing. And some of you, this will resonate with you, but for those of us that grew up in church, especially Pentecostal church, y'all remember those faith mothers, they were always pleading the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus against the enemy. I plead the blood. Oh, we're going to put that under the blood of Jesus. What are they saying? I know who freed me, and I know who forgave me. It was the redemption of Christ and by His blood. So when we say, I plead the blood, don't plead the fifth, plead the blood, praise God. Don't shut your mouth. Open your mouth and say something. Jesus paid it all. You were redeemed, bought with a price. Some of us are still living like Jesus put it on layaway. Jesus didn't redeem you on a layaway plan. He's not still making payments. The final payment was 2,000 years ago. And the reason we stand here today full of grace and His mercy, the reason we could stand here today with arms uplifted in an altar or at your seat is because we realize I was lost, but Jesus found me. I was addicted, but now I'm free. I was messed up, but look at the miracle God has done. All because of Him and my yes, but all because of the work Jesus did. And where we ended last session, I am a new creation. Your past is not your identity, church. Who you used to be is not your identity. Facebook has memories. How many of you have a Facebook memory pop up and you just go ahead and delete the memory? Not you hide it. You're like, I don't even know why this was on. I delete them all the time. Not only do I do that, I can be petty enough. I'll go back through the comments and delete comments. And keep the memory up and then share the memory again. Facebook has a lot of memories, but I'm here to tell you, you're no longer that person. Can I just talk to the mature Christian? You're not even like you used to be when you were a baby Christian. You know, when you were a baby Christian, you said some outlandish things and you acted some outlandish ways, like Peter in Gethsemane, lopping off people's ears when that's not what God told us to do. I'm here to tell you, maturity, praise God, is going to help you realize that's no longer me, and so I'm not going to abide by who I used to be, praise God, but I am a new creation. Failure, your past is not your future. The declaration is, I am a new creation in Christ. My past no longer defines me. But let's move to some new declarations. Number four in our declarations, God is always with me. God is always with me. Going down this aisle just a few moments ago, I was dapping people up and hugging people and shaking hands. And I met one of my new friends back there, and he was by himself. And usually he's here with three or four of his friends, and he said, I'm by myself today. I said, you're never by yourself, but I know what you mean. But you're never by yourself. God is with you. I said, how's life going? And he got those big eyes. He said, and I said, hey, you're where you need to be. Lock in. Focus in. Praise God. I love that. I love the fact that God is with me today at Living Way. And if you couldn't feel God 30 minutes ago, we need to make sure your heart is still beating. You could feel the Holy Spirit just wave after wave after wave in this altar. This worship team is opening their gifts and heaven opens up. And when you and I begin to worship, Psalm says that God inhabits the praises of Israel. We are Israel, praise God. He inhabits our praise. God showed up and I felt God in this room. But can I just encourage you that tonight at 2 a.m., God is going to be with you. And tomorrow when you walk through the lion's den, God will still be with you. And on Tuesday when a fiery furnace shows up, God will still be with you. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a confession for us, church. God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. When the going gets tough and you find out who your real friends are, come on now. It's not when you had all the money to spend. It's not when everything was great, but when you start going through some trials and tribulations, you are going to find out who your real friends are. And there might be somebody in the room today saying, Pastor, I'm going through the roughest season of my life, and everybody has left me. I know every physical person has left you, but I can assure you of this one thing, and you ought to declare it every day of your life. I am not alone, because Jesus said he would never leave me nor forsake me. He walks with me. He talks with me. He closed the lion's mouth. Amen. He made sure that the fires didn't burn me up. God is always with you. Paul and Silas, he was in prison with you. It doesn't matter where you go, God will always be there. The two most fertile places for people to find Jesus, three of them actually, the hospital room, the jail cell, or the battlefield. And let me tell you that God is everywhere you need him to be. He is everywhere you want him to be. Every time that you've ever felt alone, it is because of what your eyes see. But if your spirit could see what the spirit sees, you would see that angels, praise God, are standing on the left and right of you. That the host of heaven is at your disposal. You are not alone. You are not alone. You say, well, I need somebody that I can look into their face and they can look into my face. But let me tell you something. That's what Living Way's for. We're not just going to be here on Sundays and Wednesdays. We're going to give you phone numbers and text and numbers that you can text and call, and people that you can look into their eyes and them say, hey, listen, God is not through with you yet. I know it looks tough right now, but God still is, and God is still with you. If you're taking notes, write this down. God's presence is permanent. Well, I love that. God's presence is permanent. Remember this, church. Most of your relationships are temporary. Most of them are. You say, well, what about marriage? 54% of them are temporary. Look to the left. Look to the right. I don't want to speak this. I know we're in a speaking series. But I hope that the person you just looked to the left and right, I hope that they're here next week. I hope that they're here next month. I hope they're here next year. But let's look down 5 years. That's a lot of living, y'all. There's a chance that they might not be here, but God will still be here. And the people in your home might change, but God will always be in that house. And the people at your job might change. Nobody is permanent but Jesus. In Greek and Hebrew, a double or triple negative are often referred or used for emphasis. In English, when we use a double negative, in standard grammar, it cancels out, but it does not do that in Hebrew or Greek, but rather it makes the statement stronger. You're going to love this, church. The example from Hebrews 13:5, which we just read, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He reiterates the first statement with the second statement. But what it's really saying in the Greek is I will never, never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. Can I just encourage you that in your lowest time when you thought everybody had left, God was standing in heaven saying, I will never, ever, 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 never, ever, 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 ever. And if you're like me, sometimes he has to say it for 5 minutes. Never, ever, 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 ever leave you. And I will never, ever, ever. You get the point. It's not a casual statement. All of heaven right now is screaming and chanting to you today. Don't throw in the towel. You are not by yourself. God is with you, and he will never, ever leave you. God is literally saying, it is absolutely impossible for me to remove my presence from your life. That is powerful to me, because it gives me a leg to stand on when I tell the enemy, take my stuff. take relationships. You can even try to take my peace and my joy, but God, it is physically impossible for him to remove his presence from the believer's life. God claims he will never leave us. You know why he can make that claim, church? Because God never changes. You know why people leave us? Because they change or we change. When you go to someone's wedding and you see them in love and they kiss the bride and they cut the cake and all of that, and then 5 years later, you hear that they were divorced. Something changed, or rather, someone changed. And usually, both parties changed because one party started acting negative. And then someone felt a need to rise to the level of that offense and dish it right back out. But the reason that I can so assuredly encourage you with this thought today, that God will never leave you and make that promise and guarantee to you, is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not like people. He is not temperamental. He is not emotional. He doesn't love you one day and not like you the next. He's not mad at you today, and so he's going to withhold his presence from you tomorrow. God never changes, so he can honestly say, I will never leave you because I know who I'll be a year from now. Even if you're acting crazy, Brandon. Even if you're running from me, Brandon. I know who I'll be. I know how I'll be. And so I can tell you, you might leave me, Brandon, but I'll never leave you. That's what one of my friends always says. He said, Brandon, if you ever hear that me and my wife, that we're separate, he goes, I need you to know that she left me. I didn't leave her. He's always in jest. He's not, they've been married for 30 years, I think. But he's saying it will never be, and I believe God says that if you and I are separated, it's because you left me, not because God left you. People may walk away because they change or you change. Circumstances change. People change circumstances. Circumstances changes people, but God stays the same, so there is never a chance that he will leave you. So the declaration is, God is always with me. I am never alone. When you leave this room today, if you don't remember anything else that is said or done in this service today, I need you to know that you might have come in this place alone today, but you're not leaving alone because God is with you. And in reality, you didn't even walk in here alone. He was with you then, but God sent this pastor to tell you today that God is with you today. He's in the deepest, darkest places of your life, and he's not scared of the dark, and he's not scared of what is bringing fear, and he's not scared of what's happening in Iran and Russia and China, and he's not scared of the economy, and he's not scared of the political situation. He's not scared of ICE. He's not scared of anything like that. He just says, if you want me with you, I am here, and you need to know that I am with you. Let's go to the next one. I have a few moments left this morning. This next verse is one of the most oft-quoted verses and least understood verses in the entire Bible. But here's the declaration. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Write that one down. I can do all things through Christ. Most quoted, least lived, least understood. We see it on gym walls. We see it on a piece of art at the edge of our desk. However, this verse is more than just for you putting up your personal record on the bench press or passing a chemistry test that you didn't study for. This is a statement that the Apostle Paul made from one of the lowest moments of his life, a prison. He's sitting in a prison. That is why we cannot so casually use this in these moments of life that are not even a real test. You know, it's not a test if you've studied for it. And a lot of us, thank you for that, amen. A lot of us are saying, God, you keep giving the toughest test to your toughest soldiers. People being mean to you on Facebook, that's not a test. That's life. They were mean to you in kindergarten. Guess what? I'm 43. They're still mean to me every week on social media. And guess who cares? I don't. Evidently, they do because they're taking up their precious commodity of time to hate on me. And so that's not a moment where I just sit back in my desk and say, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me when people are mean to me. No, Paul is facing death. And it's not a quick death, y'all. It's a stoning. It's a crucifixion. It's a being boiled in hot oil. So when he says, I can do all things through Christ, he says, no matter what circumstances I'm facing, I can make it through it because Christ's strength is within me. So the declaration of this for a believer is not in times of just things that make us uncomfortable, but in times when we are going through some of the hardest and most difficult seasons of our life, we can rear back and in faith say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is reminding us that our strength comes from Christ, not ourselves. We will only find what we need in God's grace and his power. Some of the strongest men and women I know are in this room today, but they're some of the smallest in stature. They're not 6'5", 275-pound tight ends for some college or pro football team. They don't have bulging biceps and they don't have big traps and all of that. Some of them are some of the most smallest statured people in this room. But when I go to war, I ask them to pray because I know it's not them, but the God that lives on the inside of them. Philippians 4:13, if you're taking notes, write this word down. It is more about contentment, not conquest. We use it as a way to hype ourselves up, to break records. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I remember in one of my many plights of getting in shape, I was friends with, and he used to attend church here before he moved to North Texas or West Texas. And he was a strength and conditioning coach for East Central High School. Go Hornets. Is that what y'all are? Yellow Jackets, Hornets, Yellow Jackets, whatever y'all are. Stinging, some stinging fly. I'd go out there and I'd lift weights. And this went on for and I'm going to tell you what, man, that dude knew what he was doing. I'd go out there and I'd lift weights. I'd go out there and I'd train. I'd go out there and I'd do squats. I'd go out there and he'd stand in the middle of the track and he'd make me run laps around that track, and if my heart rate wasn't fast enough at the end, he'd say, all right, we got to do it again. But the one thing that annoyed me is while I was running, this guy was a tongue-talking believer now. He would stand in the middle of the track, or he would stand at the foot of that weight bench, and he would just say, come on, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The first day, I let all that go. I'm just like, let me just get through this. I'm going to die anyway. I'm not going to waste breath. And finally, I racked a set of weights one time, and I said, listen, Mike, quit shouting scriptures at me, man. And he was like taking them back. He's like, Pastor, how can you say that? I said, I don't want to hear that right now. I know what I'm capable of. You know what I'm capable of. I'm not going to be able to magically lift twice as much weight just because you throw Jesus' name into the equation. And I know what you're saying. Well, if he can raise dead bodies back to life, then he can help you bench press 450 pounds. Yeah, but dead bodies need to come back to life. What am I going to prove benching 450 pounds? Some of us are speaking to mountains that you can move. You don't need God to step in and move them. I wasn't going to share that story, but I think it's prudent. Quit asking God to move mountains that you can move. Quit asking God in prayer to do things that he's given you the power to do. Quit begging God to do things that he's saying, I've given you authority. Remember, you're a son. You're a child of God. You've been given all authority. You've been given all jurisdiction to do those things. Can I just tell you, I'll pray for you, but your prayers are just as strong as my prayers. Your worship is just as lovely to the ears of God as mine is. Praise God. Let's talk about this, contentment, not conquest, which means Philippians 4:13, listen to this, church, is more about who you are, not what you can do. Well, the Bible says I can do all things. Yeah, but you only do something as a result of who you are. That's why there's a lot of people that are failing at doing because they're speaking something they don't believe. They're speaking something that they're not standing on in faith, that they have not tested. Being content, listen to what I'm gonna say now, being content and satisfied are two different things. Can I just tell you, as a 43-year-old husband, father of two, pastor of the greatest church in all of America. God has blessed me. God has done so much for me. He has healed me. He has delivered me. He has done so much in my life, in Mandy's life, in my kids' life. I have a blessed life. I still go through trials. I still go through tribulation. I still have days that I do want to throw in the towel. Life is not perfect. But can I tell you, I am so content with where I am in 2025. But can I just follow that up with, I am not satisfied. There's mountains to claim. There's devils to cast out. There are people to heal and bring into the body of Christ. There are hungry mouths to feed. There is a city. I don't even have to go to another county. Right here in this county, there are millions of people that need Jesus. Bexar County is full of inmates right now, men and women wrongfully accused, rightfully accused, that need Jesus today. There are hospitals that are filled up with people. Hospice has sent them home saying there's nothing else we can do. They don't need to know what I can bench press. What they need is somebody that can speak to a Lazarus and say, hey, I know you've got a mountain, but I've got a God. And when I turn the lion loose, praise God. Not what I can do, but who I am. Give me a couple more minutes here. Content, but not satisfied. Now, give me two or three more minutes, because what I'm about to say now seems converse with what I just said. When you look in the Greek at the word content, it comes from the word autarkes. It comes from our two words, auto and archeo. Content in the Greek means self-sufficient. Now you're just like, well, you just said contentment and sufficient, satisfied, being sufficient, are not the same. They're not the same. Let's go a little further. Self-sufficient, content in the sense of being, here we go, satisfied. In the Greek, the word satisfied is in quotations. Because when it talks about being content, it is not I am satisfied with who I am, but we are satisfied because of the living God that is within us. So when I am content, I am not satisfied with who I am. I am satisfied with whose I am. I am satisfied knowing that, Brandon, you can make a mess of it, but I am content. I am satisfied because I know there is a God that is on the inside of me, and I can rest in his power, and I can rest in his authority. I'm talking to a believer in the room or online today that you've been satisfied, but you haven't been content. You have taken your foot off the wheel, off the gas pedal. You've taken your hand off the wheel and said whatever, but I need you to know that God is looking at you saying today, I need you to be content. I need you to be able to rest not in the fact that it's not going to work out. I need you to be able to rest in the fact that I, the God in you, is big enough to handle the situation that you are currently in. I'm satisfied in who he is. I'm content with who he is. We are not self-sufficient. Church, we are God-sufficient. Sufficient means that you have enough. And we know that with God we have more than enough. If I could take you back to autarkis, the combination of auto and archeo. That word auto means where we get our word automatic. This is why it can't just be a phrase that we say, saying I can do all things through Christ. It needs to be something that lives in us, because our automatic response to adversity should be, I can do all things. When we're sitting, I was sitting with somebody this week that said, pray for me. The oncologist has called and ordered all kinds of tests. This person wasn't freaking out. This person didn't even shed a tear. They just said, pray for me. You know why? Because I know the person. And I know that their automatic response was, I'm content. I am resting in the fact that I have a God whose strength can do all things. Contentment in Christ should become our automatic response. The inward sufficiency that we have in Christ is valid in our low times of suffering. Autarkis, which is the Greek word for content, only occurs this way, as in sufficiency, in Philippians 4:11. We quote verse 13 all the time. We forget verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Doesn't matter what I have, what I don't have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Sounds like somebody who is resting in Jesus. I've learned the secret of living in every situation. Sounds like somebody who is resting in Jesus. Whether it is with a full stomach or an empty stomach, with plenty or little. Remember, where's he writing this from? A prison cell. But he said, I'm content. Not with who I am, not with what I can do. I don't ever know if I'll make it out of this prison cell, but I am content and satisfied with the fact that Jesus is with me and that I'm resting in his power. Autarkis comes from, autos comes from self, and archaean means sufficient, meaning self-sufficiency, which is entirely God-produced because Christ now lives in us. Stand on your feet in this house. The context of Philippians 4:13 is about being content in every circumstance, whether in lack or abundance. The same Paul who had wrote, I am content in all things, wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter, chapter 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. Talking about God. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Christ strengthens us, church, to empower us for his will, not to just achieve personal goals. In my studies these last few weeks, I ran across this quote. I love it. Philippians 4:13 is not a blank check. It is a statement about being able to handle all things, not getting all things. You go apply for a job that you're unqualified for, and you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not about getting things. It's not about getting things. It's about being able to handle if you don't get the job and being able to say, I rest, I'm satisfied in Christ's power. There's a better job. Come on, young lady, you've been crying tears because he left you. The greatest thing that he did was leave you and not take you with him. God's got a better man. Young man, you've been simping on her too long. Come on now, young people. Well, if I had her, if you had her, all you'd have is STDs and an unwanted pregnancy. I'm already in youth camp mode. The greatest gift was God taking her out of your life. Because he said, I need you to handle this season of singleness before I usher you into the greatest relationship that you have ever had. I'm content with being single. But can I just tell you, as a married man, I'm content with being married. My eyes are not wondering. There are no secret text messages. There is no secret profile. None of those things. Why? Because where I am, God has taught me. I'm content with where I am. God sufficient. I am resting. I am satisfied. I am sufficient and content with who Christ is in me. If you're writing things down, write this last couple things down. Christ strengthens us. This made me say ouch because I think it was for me, but I'll share it with you too. Christ strengthens us for God's purpose, not our preference. God strengthens us for his purpose, not our preference. Meaning that there's a lot of times that God gives you strength, not for just what you think you need it for. But he said there's something so much bigger than what you prefer. And it's my purpose. Here's the declaration. Christ strengthens me. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. You know one of the worst parts of Philippians 4:13 that we misunderstand? Is the smallest part of that verse, I. Because in 2025, we love us some me. And so when we say I, we make it about us. But contentment is when you make it about Jesus. So when you quote this, I can do all things through Christ, maybe we need to start declaring it like this: Jesus, you can do anything. And then when we're mature enough, we can say, Jesus, because you're in me, I can do all things. These declarations that we're breaking, I told Mandy this morning, I said, I cannot wait to preach on Philippians 4:13, because it's something I've never heard preached before like this. That it's a contentment and satisfaction and sufficiency verse, not a getting all I can verse. But if you're in this room today, and maybe it was the one before this, maybe it's that you just need to be reminded God is with you. You feel alone. If you showed up to church alone, I want you to join us in this altar. If you feel like, man, I don't have anybody to talk to. I don't have anybody to converse with. Or maybe you don't feel content. Maybe you're all over the place. Your mind has wandered. Your mind has wandered, and so it's caused decisions to now not be based on Christ's preference, but our preference. Can I encourage you, and I just feel this in my spirit to say this right now before we start praying. We really need to get really good at inviting people. Inviting Jesus into our decision making on a daily basis. We need to bring Jesus. Jesus needs to talk to you about your job, about your relationships, about where you're going to serve, about what you're going to do, where you're going to live. You need to bring him in on those big moments, where you're going to go to college, young people, what career path you're going to choose. Mighty God, praise, mighty men of God, mighty women of God are joining us in this altar today. I believe Kiara is getting baptized today, praise God. In the name of Jesus, if you're in this altar, I see young people with tears welling up in their eyes. Moses, both of you, so good to see you. Nick, so good to see you. Miss Angie, Amarissa, so great to see you in this altar today. My friend, praise God. God has been all over you from the beginning of this service. God is with you, my friend. God is with you. Be content. God is with you. Amen. Praise God. It is his strength in us. In Jesus' name. One of our leaders stopped me along the back of the room during worship, said, I got another guy that wants to be baptized today. He brought his brothers today. Listen, this is what revival looks like. Revival's not a service. Revival's not a conference. It's not a weekend. Revival is a way of life. How do we get that way of life? By speaking the word of God from a place of understanding, so that obedience can give way to mountains moving in your life. If you're in this altar today, this is another miracle right here. I meant to say this at the beginning. This is Albert. I've been praying for Albert the last 2 or 3 weeks. You can't see from where you're sitting, but Albert here in this light blue shirt, he has like 30 or 40 staples in his head, and he's got his arm in a sling. And so when I shook hands and dapped him up during service, I said, man, what happened to you? He said, I was hit by a drunk driver 1 month ago. He said, I was dead, and they brought me back to life on the side of the road. Man, he said it with a big smile on his face, and I said, Albert, there's no doubt that God's got a big plan for you. You can never doubt God's plan again. Why? Because mountains were moved on June 4th. Maybe you haven't been hit by a drunk driver, but maybe the devil has run you over this year. It's time that you start speaking. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Jesus, you can do anything you want in me, with me, for me, and around me. If that needs to be your confession, I want you to join us in this altar right now. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, listen, it's very simple. We were lost, we were born in sin, we were messed up. Doesn't matter if you've gone to church all your life, doesn't matter if you've been a drug addict, doesn't matter if you've been divorced 50 times, married to one person, doesn't matter if you know the Bible from beginning to end, if you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this is your moment. It's the difference between heaven and hell, eternity with Christ, eternity without Christ. You say, what do I have to do? Do I have to go through a course? Do I have to do all? You don't have to do anything but believe on Jesus and confess who he is. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, I got good news for you. We do know what to say. Romans 10, chapter 10, 9 and 10. It tells us if we confess our sins, all you've got to do is repent of your sins and believe that Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of God, the only way to get to the Father. You repent, ask Jesus to come in, salvation comes to you immediately. It's not about works, it's about grace and faith. Your faith is grace. If you're ready for that miracle, join us. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, join us. With the evidence of speaking in tongues, 1 week from this Wednesday night, over 100 young people, I'm already declaring it, 100 young people are going to be filled or refilled with the power of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you don't want to wait, young person, right now, old person, mature person, people my age, if you don't want to wait, now's your time. You got sickness in your body? Let's pray about it. Let's speak to the mountain. You got addiction in your life? Let's speak about it. Let's pray. Listen, we've been here 50 years. You're not going to surprise us. People have laid crack pipes on this altar. People have put down rocks on this altar. They put down everything you can think of. Praise God. We're not here to judge you. We're here to free you in Jesus' name. If you need anything, this is your moment. Worship team is going to lead us in worship. I'm going to add my faith to the men and women in this altar, and we're going to see God work miracles. Let's speak to the mountain.